This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Last week, ABC Four Corners took a look at an elite Sydney boys' school and allegations that some female teachers had been bullied by staff and sexually harassed by the students. Now, this isn't the first boys' private school to face similar allegations. So what do these schools need to do to foster a culture of gender inclusiveness? Kelly Burns is a senior lecturer in health education at the University of Sydney. Kelly, welcome to Drive.
Oh, hi. It's so lovely to be here.
What sort of allegations have we seen directed towards private boys' schools?
Well, I think private boys' schools have long come under fire in terms of the way in which their culture perpetuates certain types of gender-based violence. So there's been a lot of kind of unacceptable behaviors that have been identified by students and in some cases by staff. So some of this is about online behavior, some of it's public behavior, but also the really significantly inadequate responses that some schools have had to issues of sexual assault and violence between students.
Is this hostility in these school environments, is it mainly directed towards anyone who sort of doesn't fit that masculine norm?
Well, I think just like other all-male sort of bastions of traditional masculinity, women are a target of this violence, but also trans and gender diverse students and boys who don't conform to the traditional ideas of what it means to be a man in Australian society.
So why is it that these schools continue to perpetuate, I suppose, this hostile environment to anyone else who doesn't fit those norms? Why is it that they don't change as the rest of the world is starting to change?
Well, I wonder if they are a bit. So I want to say as a bit of a caveat that, you know, there are some parents and there will be lots of parents and lots of boys in these schools who don't condone these types of behaviors. And I think that's really important to point out. Likewise, there'll be teachers who have been tirelessly working in these places for decades who don't condone the types of behaviors of the students. But I think there's a broader sort of shift that needs to be made around the culture and traditions of all boys settings. And when particular types of violence, particularly gendered violence, becomes kind of part of the everyday culture. And that doesn't have to just take place in a boys' school. It can happen in a girls' school. It can take place also in co-ed schools. But I think boys' schools lend themselves, because of their tradition and because they may not think that dealing with these is as vital because they don't have girls in the environment.
Some of these boys' schools are planning to go co-ed. If they don't do anything else to address the culture, I suppose, what could the school environment be like once the girls are enrolled and start attending the campuses?
Well, I think that historically we've had this idea that girls, you know, they bring in this force of settling boys down. And I think that's really problematic because that's simply not the case. So it's not enough to just say, let's change our enrollment forms and let girls come. And then we'll be more inclusive, less sexist, and a safer school environment. I think instead there needs to be quite a significant reflective exercise where you look at the whole school and say, how can we start again? How can we think about all of our key areas of our school and make some change?
What about the teachers? I know there's some great teachers out there, but how do we ensure the teacher values also align with equality as well? I mean, I've certainly come across conservative teachers who, and certainly when I was a kid, show their disgust at kids who are completely different. I'd like to think that doesn't happen, but we're not in that sort of world, are we?
Well, I think that, again, there's a lot of teachers who have been working for decades in New South Wales, but also in Victoria, where I previously worked at the University of Melbourne, and lots of, you know, really fabulous teachers who have worked hard to try to change the cultures of these schools. But I think a lot starts in initial teacher education and trying to make sure that we talk about gender with students, we talk about equity in our initial teacher education classrooms or university training settings. And also that there's regular professional development for teachers to be able to kind of move with the times and recognize that maybe some of the gender values they came into teaching with have changed.
We're chatting with Kelly Byrne, Senior Lecturer in Health Education at the University of Sydney, about what schools need to do in order to be genuinely gender inclusive. Kelly, what role does the curriculum play in ensuring that the school has got that equality?
Well, I think curriculums are a starting point. You know, it's what sets the agenda for what will students learn. So they will their curriculum be diverse? And will it talk about equity? Will it talk about gender? And likewise, are students given lots of extracurricular clubs and opportunities that are, you know, that are open to all students, regardless of their gender? And I think what we learn in class, we can, from English to health and physical education to human society units, all of those in different ways can engage with our public debates about gender and equity, but they also can provide examples and texts that promote a wider, more inclusive understanding of gender and sexuality.
Kelly, is it easy to change the culture of a school that is, you know, is being, is, I suppose, receiving those sorts of allegations that we saw aired on Four Corners last week? Is it something that can be done, or is it ingrained and you really have to start and wait for a cycle of students to go through from, you know, from whatever year one through to six for it to change?
Well, I think time is right. I think you're right about the time. It will take time. But I think, you know, these schools are incredibly well-resourced. So with the right will, a significant cultural change could happen. And part of that is because, as I said, there will already be parents eager for that climate to change. And there'll already be teachers eager for that climate to change and indeed making that change. And then I think it is about, you know, thinking about the whole of school and trying to really go through and say, what are our values and what traditions do some of us adhere to that just aren't okay anymore?
Is it a trend? Are private boys' schools tending to go co-ed? Is that a trend that's happening, or is it just some of them are doing it?
Yeah, there's a number of elite boys' schools that are opening their doors to girls. There's also a number of public government schools in New South Wales that, for more practical reasons, have also gone co-ed. So it's just, you know, the intake areas require a co-education setting and there isn't one, but there had traditionally been a boys and a girls school, and we're seeing those now amalgamate into co-ed settings.
I'm thinking of when I was a kid, like, we couldn't afford a private education, but I'm so thankful I went to a co-ed school for my entire schooling. And I'm just wondering what these environments do to a kid who perhaps isn't masculine enough for the school culture, what it must be like, because it must be terrifying in some ways.
Well, I think this sort of old idea, you know, that boys will be boys, it means that boys in particular, you know, it's a, as you say, quite a threatening setting. Mm. If you don't conform to those norms, or where the school climate is, you know, caters for sport and those types of activities without having a balance of music and drama and other activities that some boys might be more interested in.
Kelly, what if you had to say the top, say, five things or three things to do if you were a school, what do they need to do, even if they're not going co-ed or even if they are going co-ed, to address this masculine culture?
Well, I think it's not just about addressing the masculine culture, but thinking of the everyday ways that gender binaries organize our schools. Mm. So part of it is looking at our curriculum, but also those sort of what we call the hidden curriculum, the everyday ways in which teachers tell students that you are a boy or you are a girl, and this is the only way we can organize our classroom or our school. So boys lining up in one line, girls lining up in another line. That means that everyone exists in these tight little binaries, and that how we define you is most strictly by your gender category. And some people say, well, what's wrong with that? And for one, of course, it overlooks the diversity of gender. So it overlooks those children who identify as trans or non-binary. But apart from that, it also suggests that all boys have more in common with each other and girls more in common with each other than they might about shared interests or expertise in particular subject areas. And so it just serves to organize the logic of the school. So the first thing I'd say is that we need to challenge that idea that gender is this organizing principle of our discipline, of our classrooms, of our sport, of every element of our educational system.
Kelly, you just reminded me, I completely forgot about the boys in one line and the girls in the other line. I remember always thinking, oh my goodness, I want to just mix in that line for a little bit. It was just, I completely forgot. So they still do that, do they? They still segregate lining
up?
Yeah,
it's so ingrained. And, you know, as a parent, I'm a parent also of two children. And I get told all of the time, even though I'm a mother of two very different boys, I get told all of the time, you know, oh, well, he's a boy, of course he's very hungry, or he's a boy, and so of course he needs lots of space, or he's a boy. So you get, you know, they're really part of our everyday logic about who boys are and who girls are. And while some of those people, they might resonate with people, it also doesn't provide scope for the diversity of how young children are and how they like to play and how they like to learn.
Definitely. And it also sends a message to someone or a kid who doesn't necessarily fit into that binary model that there's something wrong with you. And that's not the case at all.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Kelly, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. That's Kelly Byrne, Senior Lecturer in Health Education at the University of Sydney.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.